Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together, we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Well, thanks, Dad. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and I'm excited to speak today with someone who I think is really going to challenge you to think about your faith walk. I'm sitting at the foot of the beautiful Rocky Mountains in Lone Tree, Colorado today on the campus of Red Rocks Church with a man I deeply admire. His name is Ken Harrison. Ken was an LAPD police officer in the early 1990s, and he has since gone on to have an amazing career in business and in ministry. Ken is the CEO of Waterstone, a financial services firm that offers personalized charitable giving solutions. This man is a friend to both me and my dad, and he is going to offer his qualified, unflinching perspective on biblical truth and masculinity, and perhaps help us to understand how to be bold Christians in an otherwise soft culture. Ken, my friend, it's always great to see you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It cracks me up how much like your dad you sound. I swear.
That makes me laugh.
I would think I was listening to Tim.
I love that. I love that. I've studied him. I've observed him so much that is definitely a compliment to me, sir. Hey.
And I love that you see that as a compliment.
Oh, yes.
That's a compliment to your dad.
That is a compliment to Dad for sure. Ken, you know, we're going to talk a lot about masculinity today, but with all the different things that you have, all the hats that you wear, the leadership roles that you operate out of, but the 7W Ranch that you guys are looking to open up, to operate, bringing ministry leaders in to be able to just entrust them to continue to impact and pour into others. But at the same time, something that I'm sure God will use through your life. Speak to us a little bit about that fun project right here at the beginning.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So Waterstone is a Christian foundation. It does donor-advised funds and trusts and whatnot. It helps people give money away. And as part of that, we run a very efficient foundation, so we actually end up with extra money that our staff gets to give away. It's pretty cool because we have, like, women at our office that make $60,000 a year that get to give away $60,000 a year because of what we are able to do. But the other thing we decided to put our money into was this ranch, because what I saw is running Promise Keepers, we have this epidemic of the friendless American male.
Yes.
Also, though, with Waterstone, we deal with a lot of wealthy families, and unfortunately, life becomes transactional.
Yes.
So if you're wealthy, everywhere you go, someone wants something from you, and so you end up being very defensive, and then you end up either in a group of people who's also really wealthy, which isn't really healthy,
right?
Or you end up in this transactional situation when you don't have a lot of friends and you wonder, are my relationships genuine? So to that end, I said, let's buy this ranch. It's the second oldest dude ranch in Colorado.
Wow.
It's incredibly beautiful. It's full of aspen forest, spruce. It's got its own lake. It abuts the national forest. So we can fish in the lake. It's by the Colorado River, so we can float the Colorado River. We can ride horses up into the national forest. It's really amazing. The cabins were built in 1916.
Wow.
So we bought it, we went in, we renovated the cabins, and we bought these cool covered wagons that are custom made, that they have their own, this is crazy, they have a bed, like a nice table, their own bathroom, and they're heated and air conditioned.
What?
So just like the pioneers had.
Yeah.
Come across. And the views are just insane. It's at 9,000 feet. You can see literally Long's Peak, which is 99 miles away from our ranch.
Wow.
And the idea is to bring people in for relationship. Because as we'll talk about, women do relationship by communicating. And so women today have good relationships within the church. Men don't. Because men do relationship by doing. So you and I can go to lunch together for 20 years.
Yep.
We're not friends.
Right.
But we go hunting together. We go fishing. We go skiing. You know, you do a yard sale and you crash and your skis go everywhere, and that night we're laughing, you know, all a bunch of guys. That's when friendship, that's how men make friends.
That's right.
So we did this in order to have couples retreats, also bring out burned out cops. I was really convicted. I speak to the San Antonio and Austin police a lot.
Wow.
In the last 6 months, they've had 13 suicides. 13. Mm-hmm. Because, and those are just the guys killing themselves. Those aren't the guys who are being abusive to their wives. It's mm-hmm. it's a problem. So we decided, let's buy this ranch and just pour into people where they can come up and just nobody wants anything from them. Wow. They can, cops can come up and be healed. We can have pastors retreats, couples retreats, and especially emphasis on men's retreats, men, fathers and sons, fathers and daughters. Mm. See dads bring their daughters up and go horseback riding and fishing, yes, and all that. Bring their sons up and teach them how to shoot a bow. We're going to have some Green Berets come up and teach guys how to load a gun and fire a gun. And we're going to have some MMA guys because we've got a great UFC gym here. My son's an MMA fighter.
Yes.
Come up and show guys how to defend themselves. Because, you know, a lot of men are insecure about...
Absolutely.
If I get into a situation, I don't know what to do.
Yep.
Well, confidence brings a different... If you give a man confidence that he knows what to do, it can change his whole personality. So that's what the whole ranch is about. It'll get going next year. We had a lot of renovation and money to put into it. So we've done a few events right now. They've been great, but next year we'll be full on. So if anybody wants to see that,
yes,
just go to the waterstone.org website, and then you can see the 7W and kind of ask questions and see if it's something that'll work for them next year.
In your book, Rise of the Servant Kings, you talk a lot about the different experiences in the LAPD police force, and you talk about the patterns that you began to recognize. It was like you were almost arresting the same people time and time again, showing up at the same scenes, but you mentioned some themes. I saw recently Josh Howerton said something about this. Fatherlessness is the number one contributor to all five of the following societal ills: crime, homelessness, unwed pregnancy, poverty, and this one fascinated me, future fatherlessness. Speak a little bit just to the significance and this epidemic of fatherlessness that we're seeing across the culture and society, but also maybe some of the other patterns that you saw in the force.
I want to encourage every dad out there. Your children are getting their identity from you. I mean, mothers are the constant for the most part. Yeah. Not always, but for the most part, mothers are the ones you can count on to love and be there. Dads are the variable. And people with good dads tend to end up being good people and good dads.
Yeah.
People who have absent fathers, generally there's a hole in their soul that never leaves. Mm. There is, I know guys that are successful, you know who they are, yeah, who didn't have fathers, and they just never stop needing approval. They're actually kind of a pain in the neck because they just never stop needing you to affirm them, right?
Yes.
And they can be really hard to be married to, because they just need constant affirmation because their dad wasn't there. Dad can leave a real hole. So I want to say to all fathers out there that your son needs a hero, and you're his hero.
Wow.
And your daughters need a man that they can believe in, and you're that man. And even if you screwed it up, there's something weird about a parent relationship that even if your daughter's 50 years old, she still yearns for you to be that man. And mm-hmm. you may have screwed up. You may be 75, 80 years old and screwed up royally. I'm sorry is an incredibly powerful phrase. Amen. And to give a real apology is to say, here's what I did. Here's how it affected you. Mm. And here's what I'm going to do to not do that again. Mm. And it's incredible. I'm sorry is not, okay, yeah, I know I was late. I'm sorry. No, I know that you sat here for 15 minutes waiting for me. How dare I take my time and make it more valuable than your time? And from now on, I'm going to leave 15 minutes early, and I'll always be first so that you never have to wait on me again. That's an apology, right? Mm-hmm. But I would encourage dads, even if you screwed up, even if your kids hate you or say they hate you, to really apologize profusely. I was a screwed up dad. I did this and I did that. And they may scream at you for the next 2 hours about the other stuff, which they need to do, and they have the right to do if you were a crappy father.
Yeah.
But reconcile with your kids, because you can make a massive difference in the world if you could just change those few souls that you're responsible for. And for the dads of young kids and stuff, I would just say, be present. Now, that's one side of it. The other side, I would say, there is nothing more destructive to a man as a father or anything else than pornography. Mm. Pornography puts you into a state of lust that you don't see women as human beings, you see them as objects. It is absolute, the most destructive, horrible thing in our culture today as an entity is pornography. If you want to walk with Christ, if you want to have a real relationship with him and walk in the power of Jesus and be a good man and a good husband and a good father, you need to do whatever it takes to get rid of pornography. And I've had a lot of people get very offended by me. In fact, I've given talks. It's funny. It's more women that get mad.
Yeah.
You got to stop telling men to repent of pornography because they're traumatized and they've had bad lives and they had bad fathers and they self forget what the word that you woke garbage word is that you know whatever they help themselves and you just they need counseling and it's just not that easy. And I said, what did Jesus say about lust? He said, if your eye causes you to lust, cut it out of your head.
Yep.
I don't. Again, back to nice Jesus.
Yeah.
So if Jesus said, cut your eyes out if you can't stop lusting, I think I'm okay saying repent and stop looking at porn.
Yeah.
You don't need counseling, you need to stop sinning. Mm. And so, and again, men need that kind of talk. They need any more mamby-pamby, whiny. Yes. If you're sinning, stop. And it's why, you know, God didn't call me to be a pastor. I've had more people tell me you should be a pastor. I'm like, no. Some guy's going to come in for counseling and say, you know, I drink, and when I drink, I beat my wife. And I would say, well, then stop drinking, stupid. I mean, yeah. That was easy. I mean, but honestly, we do need more of that from our pastor. Stop sinning. Repent now.
Yes.
And if your dad was a bad father, then okay. Yeah. But we have a victimhood mentality that is very prominent in men today. They've learned to be victims and whine about this and whine about that. And you need to stop whining, repent, and start being the man that you want your daughter to marry, start being the man that you wish your wife was married to.
And like you mentioned, your mistakes don't disqualify you from trying again, from reconciling, from restoring that relationship.
That's the whole
gospel.
It's
never too late, right? Find a way. Whatever it takes, whatever it requires. That's what you're saying about being a dad. That's what you're saying about cutting out pornography or any addiction, idol in your life. Just find a way. Do whatever is necessary to make sure that we're living the faithful, a life of integrity, and the life toward righteousness each and every day of our lives. You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm your host today, Dr. Zach Clinton. I'm sitting with CEO of Waterstone, a man who has written several books. He's an esteemed author, but at the same time, a man who is doing incredible things as it relates to just the work of biblical masculinity. He's the one that actually helped revitalize the Promise Keepers movement, Ken Harrison, today. Ken, you know, we've talked a lot about fatherlessness. We've talked about so many different things. Something I wanted to touch on here for a moment, you and your bride, Elliot, empty nesters now. And there might be a dad out there listening today, or even a mom out there listening, who's thinking, how can I best transition into a new season of life and love and care for my kids, maybe differently than when they were in the house? What are some lessons that you've taken away in this new season?
That's a great question, man. Because, you know, I remember the first brush we had with empty nesterhood was when my son Hunter was about to leave for Wheaton College, and Coleman was like 10th grade, and our daughter Ashton was already gone. She'd already graduated from Liberty. So we brought them to Africa, and we brought them down to a Bible college, Bruce Wilkerson. It was great. It's 5 weeks on this safari, and they had to hunt for their food, so I got to go down. And my wife said, I'm like, you're sending them to Africa? I'm like, well, if you feel worried about it, we can go down with them and make sure it's okay with you and it's cool. Come back. But I said, you know, it's time for our boys to become men. And I'm not a big hunter. I don't like killing things, but it is important. I mean, somebody's killing that meat, you know? So we go down there, and they both bagged a wildebeest, and they learned how to clean it, and then they went to Bible school for 5 weeks, and it was a great experience. But we go there for a week, and we come back, and then we're all of a sudden just empty nesters. Like, the kids aren't there. It's a month. And I remember looking at my wife going, man, I'm really glad we have a happy marriage, because all of a sudden it's just you and me. Like, for 25 years or so of kids, you're just busy all the time.
Yeah.
All of a sudden we're going out to eat, and we're taking the dog on hikes, and there's no one else to worry about. And it was awesome. But it was awesome because we had a great marriage and we were best friends. And so there's that part of it.
Yes.
You get into your marriage what you get out of it what you put into it.
Yes.
And empty nesterhood has a way of slapping you upside the head with reality of where your marriage is at. For us, it was awesome. I didn't want him to come back from Africa. I told him to stay there. So that was great. And your relationship with your kids changes. It's weird. Yes. Now. My sons are now, so my daughter's 30, they're 27 and 24, and we have two grandkids. And you actually become buddies with them. Like, my daughter and I, we'll take days and just go hiking together. she loves vinyl. She loves classic rock. She loves Blue Oyster Cult. Like, how does a girl, how does a 30-year-old girl from today love Blue Oyster Cult, right?
Right.
But she'll put on these vinyls, and I was sitting there the other day with her. We were, like, listening to the records, and we were, like, looking at the record sleeves and stuff from back in the day. And I started laughing. I'm like, this is what I used to do in high school. You know, with my buddies, we'd sit there and look at the record sleeves while you played the record, and because they used to have all the stuff in the records that you don't get now.
Yeah.
And you were, it was a part of your whole thing. So you become really buddies with your kids if you've done it right. And again, if you haven't done it right, you can, you know, change it, make up for it. But it's pretty cool
yes.
to be able to have your kids be your buddies. It's weird. And now it's funny, too, because you reap what you sow.
Yes.
Because my kids will bring up stuff from back, and I'll start laughing. Like, they'll bring up stories or how they perceive something, or they would tell me how scary I was. I'm like, really? I didn't know I was scary. I remember that time. Yeah. Oh, we were terrified. I'm like, you were? You know,
That's it.
I didn't know. Right. You know? But you joke. And then they make fun of your nuances, you know?
Yes.
Like, my wife... one day we're eating something and she's like, oh, let me get that to go. And my daughter goes, oh, that'll be really good with eggs. And my kids all start cracking up. And I'm like, what's so funny? And I realize my wife has always said for any leftovers, those will be good with eggs.
Right.
So all of a sudden your kids are like making fun of you for all the stuff, you know? So I love it. And being a grandparent is just amazing. Yeah. My daughter and her husband are in Japan right now. And so we've had our grandson for 9 days, which is too long. But it's been awesome, you know, just, and the thing was, you get to do it over.
Yes.
Like, you know what you screwed up with before.
Yeah.
Where you were too harsh or too lenient.
Yeah.
And also they're not yours. So, we took Jesse out to dinner the other night and he was being a bit fussy and I was like, well, it was a lot harder. And someone said, well, you asked me the next day, was it, did it remind you of when yours were little? I'm like, no, because when mine were little, I would have ripped him out of the restaurant, brought him to the car, and said, you're going to shut your mouth or I'm going to spank you. Like, I can't do that with my grandson.
Right.
So, you know, having to be a little more tolerant, like, now I've got this fussy kid, and I'm that guy in the restaurant with the loud kid, you know? Like,
right.
What am I going to do? Because I can't do my old MO.
You know, as we near the end of our conversation today, I'm just thinking about the man out there who, as Henry David Thoreau once said, is leading a quiet life of desperation. Is pretty disappointed with the way that things have looked in his own life, is blaming other people a lot there. What I would love for you to kind of close us out with are some next steps for that man. Number one, especially around the idea of not doing life alone. Joby Martin once told me that the three most dangerous words a man can say are, I got this. It's the recognition that in order to be responsible, sometimes we need to have other people around us to hold us accountable. So what's a final call? What's a final challenge? And just some next steps of hope, encouragement, and motivation you want to leave a man with today.
Tomorrow is the first day of the rest of your life. Every day you wake up and decide, who am I today? And that there's a devil who's always telling you, you are always this way, so you always will be this way. And at some point you have to shrug that off and go, no. Today, I'm no longer a guy who looks at porn, period. Today, I'm no longer a guy who doesn't work hard. You know, actually, I had a moment. I mentioned about being late and apologizing a long time ago because it was personal. I went to meet my wife for lunch 20 years ago. And I had, you know, I had my office, and I would always, if it was 15 minutes to the restaurant, then I would get up from my chair 15 minutes before I was supposed to be at lunch, not giving myself time to go down to the parking lot, get in my car, find a parking spot, walk in. Inevitably, I was 10 or 15 minutes late to everything. Hmm. And Elliot is a strong woman and a tolerant woman. And for the first time, she said, you know, I've been sitting here for 15 minutes. I got here 15 minutes early. I'm always 15 minutes early. I'm like, yeah. And you're always 15 minutes late. And you don't value my time. And my first reaction to my male pride was, well, then don't be 15 minutes early. And then you would have only waited 15 minutes. No, I didn't say that. And I actually thought that she's dead on. How dare I? How dare I actually ever value my time more than anybody's? From that moment, I decided I will never be late again to anything, except for this interview. Because I was with my grandson, and I forgot that we had an interview today. And a few years later, it was weird. I remember I was with a group of guys, and someone said, oh, Harrison was early. And then someone else said, oh, yeah, Harrison's always early. And I suddenly realized I was the guy that was always early all of a sudden. So you can decide. I decided at that moment, I will no longer be a man who's late. You can decide whatever that might be in your life. Today, I start lifting weights. I don't make excuses. I'm going to get in shape. I'm not going to be diabetic anymore. I'm not going to drink too much anymore. Whatever it might be, the only thing holding you back is you. Not your dad, not your situation, not this, not that, you. And no one is going to come along and help you but you. So there are people who wish and there are people who will. Mm. And there are too many people in America today who wish, be a man who wills. That's it. I am a man who is responsible for my family. I am, and there's going to be a long road. I mean, if you make that decision, it's not just magical. You're not just going to suddenly become. It's a lot of work and a lot of perseverance. And if you actually go and do a study in Scripture, read through the New Testament, and actually mark how many times you see persevere, 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 endure, endure, endure. That is the Christian life. Yeah. And if you continue on down that road, it's amazing who you will become. Now, you also mentioned something key. You got to have friends. You cannot do life alone. And we have been programmed in America. You know, I love Clint Eastwood. But I was watching, whenever my wife's traveling, like if she's off somewhere, I like to watch old movies that she hates.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah.
And I was watching Dirty Harry, the Dirty Harry series when she was gone. And there's this one, Magnum Force, a Dirty Harry movie. And in Magnum Force, he's been on the department for like 30 years. And he gets falsely accused and the whole department's after him because they think he did something he didn't do. But what struck me as I watched the movie was he has no friends. Mm. Like, he's like, dude, you've been on the department for 30 years and you don't know anybody. Like, there's nobody you can turn to. You know, and in the movie, it's supposed to be a great thing, and he's a lone hero, and you see Ernest Hemingway and the lone man, and it's just all garbage. I remember thinking, watching it, going, what an empty life. This guy 30 years got no friends. You gotta have friends. Where do you get friends? Church. And there's too many men not going to church today. I mean, it's an epidemic of Promise Keepers. Well, I don't go to church. Mm-hmm. I don't get anything out of it. Well, who said that you were supposed to get something out of it? Mm. You're a man. Mm. You're supposed to serve. Church is not, here's where I'm really going to offend people. It is not a mega church that you walk into and you go watch the skinny jeans and the fog machines and you listen to some empty garbage message. Yep. And then you walk out and you go to breakfast and that was church. That's not church. Church is a body of believers where you know all the people in that church. You know their kids. You know if they're suffering. You know who's unemployed. You know whose dog just died. You know whose wife just left them. You know what's going on. And you serve and meet those people where they're at. Yes. You're involved at the extent of your gifts. Men, stop thinking you can preach because you can't. Most men can't preach. Yep. A lot of preachers can't preach. Right? Who are you? What is your gift? I had a buddy of mine who went to a church in Seattle, and he saw a CEO of a Fortune 500 company emptying the trash. And he goes, dude, what are you doing? And the guy goes, this is how I serve the church. He goes, why? Well, this is my gift. I asked the pastor how I could serve, and he said he needed somebody to empty the trash. So here's a guy running a Fortune 500 company emptying the trash. What can you do to serve? And what's amazing is as you begin to meet the needs of other people, you will have a lot of friends because you as a man go circle back to the beginning of our conversation, we'll make relationships by doing. Yes. Start to be where you're at. Start to mentor young men where you can be. What can you do to reach out? So, number one, tomorrow's the first day of the rest of your life. Stop letting the devil lie to you and telling you you're a victim. You may be a victim, so what? Well, get up, move on, let's go. Number two, you need friends, and your friends are found in church, and you'll make friends by serving other people. And suddenly you'll find that you have a rich life that is full of people who love you and whom you love, and you get there by serving others in the church.
That's a word, my friend. One of my favorite verses, Romans 11:29, says that the calling that God has placed on your life is irrevocable, but I think Satan would love nothing more than for that calling to become interruptible. And you nailed it on the head by saying that oftentimes that is most effectively done by you getting in your own way.
That's right.
But mentioning that today is the day. Today's the day that you can change your life. Today's the day that you can be more intentional. Today's the day you can make the investment. Today's the day you can take the initiative, because your decisions determine your direction, and your direction determines your destiny. Every Amen. Single day, let's make the choice to decide to be the man that God has called us to be, to play the man.
So you're so much more eloquent with the throw and the, you know, you've been so...
I tell you what,
look at
Ken.
You, Dr. This, Zach.
Hey, this conversation, Ken, has blessed my soul. Truly, it's filled my cup. It's challenged me. It's called me higher. It's made me dare to believe that God can do something even greater in and through my life, what it means to be a servant king, what it means to have a daring faith in a cowardly world. I want to close this way. How can our audience members find out more about you, get involved with Waterstone, maybe see more about the 7W Ranch, but also pick up copies of both of your books?
I have a website. It's kenrharrison.com. And then Waterstone.org. And then I'm on LinkedIn and X and all that other stuff too.
Ken, thank you for just what you do. Thank you for your willingness to be bold, to be courageous, to just share the truth in love because you genuinely have other people's best interest at heart. I appreciate you. I love you. My dad does the same. We stand in the corner with you, my friend. So thank you for joining me today.
You know, it's funny because I can still think of you as the baseball player at Liberty.
I know, right?
I followed your career through your dad. And so it's funny to see, you know, when I heard you say Dr. Zach, I was like, holy cow.
Ken, we love and appreciate you, sir. Thanks for joining me.
Ditto, man.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.